Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend.
Yo.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And to Kevin, au revoir. All right.
I prefer aloha.
Yeah.
They never know if you're coming or going. Just like me.
Yes, Kev. Welcome back, Bob Buhner, Steve Jones, normal sports fans.
And Kevin, who puts the word fan in fanatic and fan in the same sentence.
I define fanatic, all right? And I'm proud of it.
Every once in a while, I have somebody say to me, "Now, did you watch the tape of the Penn State game?" I said, "I watched it live. Why do I need to see it again for?" I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mean to disappoint you, but no.
I had a ringside seat. I saw it all.
What question do you have? I mean, I don't need to like run it back and forth here. Yeah. I always love it. Did you watch the tape of what?
Steve, let me ask you a question about the Penn State Nebraska game for tomorrow, and it's a question kind of for me, the fan. If I'm looking at the game from a Penn State fan perspective, who am I looking at of importance on the Penn State side, and who on the Nebraska side?
Nebraska?
Yeah. I mean, Abdullah is obviously the running back.
4-8-80-18 and 9. On defense, 44-44-44-44.
Got it.
Okay, that's Randy Gregory.
Oh, I was going to say, now wait a minute. Who's that on defense one more time?
Defensive end Randy Gregory.
4-4 was that?
I'm sorry, who's 44 for Troy? All right.
I don't know. I don't worry about the roster.
So we've got
this. This way, that quarterback you think that's so fast, Gregory'd have him 2 steps.
Oh, okay. Man. I would hope so.
So Gregory's the defense. Is he the guy that has all the sacks?
He leads the Big Ten in sacks.
Yeah.
It would be 44 Gregory, 41 David Santos, 16 Stanley Jean Baptiste, and 17 Ciante Evans. On offense, it's obviously Tommy Armstrong, number 4, Abdullah, number 8, Kenny Bell, who's a fine all-around wideout, 80, Quincy Enua is 18. Now, watch out for him. Sammy Burch, number 9, started to play a little bit better. You know what I mean? So those are the guys I would watch for. And for Penn State, yeah, I think everybody knows. I mean, 9, Lucas, 4, Amos, Hall, 43, had a good week. Carson, 40. Daquan Jones had a good week. Offense, it's after 7.
Yeah.
Number 8, what the heck is his name? Guys like that. Geno Lewis had a good week. James and Brenneman in particular had good weeks. 14, what the heck is 14's name? Help me, Kev. He's got a bigger arm than the Troy quarterback. What's his name?
But can he outrun the Troy quarterback? That's the question.
That's a good question. Could that be Hackenberg?
There we go.
Kevin says that kid's the fastest kid on the planet.
He, in an even race against Carl Lewis, was a close second. So, whatever that meant.
Hey, Kevin has himself all worked up into a lather.
He does.
About tonight's game because he watched a tape.
But no, there's another part of this, Steve, and for everyone out there listening. This is the first game of the year that Kevin is not broadcasting. He now is consigned to the bleacher seats.
That's true.
Since he's not announcing the game, he's really...
I don't know what to do. Well, I don't know how to watch football as high school football as a fan.
Exactly.
I don't do it that often.
Yeah, so he's really got... He's fired up. It's, you know, kickoff is in 2 hours and 49 minutes, and he's got the second clock going on that one.
I understand it, but here's his problem.
Great. This is what I wanted to get into today.
He's going to have to somehow try and support the other kids.
Yeah.
It can't just be looking at the one kid.
Listen, there's nothing to see on the one kid. That's okay. So I go there for everyone. I've coached some of the kids on this team, so that's what I'm really excited to see.
And imagine putting down your son on radio like that. There's nothing to see with that kid.
Steve, do you remember the one game?
What kind of family is this?
Man, you can turn anything negative, can't you?
Steve, do you remember the one game that Kevin announced when it was a huge crowd and he measured the size of the crowd by the length of the line to the concession stand?
Yes, I do. I was back in September.
Exactly.
I'm listening to the game, and he's... He says, it's a huge crowd. You should see the line down the concessions.
Well, you know what happened? The next time I went down for water, the next home game, they said, did you say we were slow on the radio? I said, no, I did not say you were slow at getting people served. I said I knew it was a big game because there were a long line to the concession stand, and I didn't have time to get my water. I said, that's all I meant.
See, Bob, everybody seems to turn it on Kevin when it comes to the negative. It's
exactly.
Not just one. I've got to get Jeff Byers in here a little bit for a minute. I know you love wrestling.
I do.
So we got Jeffy. What's going on, buddy? Great to hear from you.
Yeah, and I was surprised, Steve, with your initial pick that Ryder would pull the upset, but turns out. No such luck.
I really had thought, you know, do we put the entire, you know, real estate holdings into the pot on Ryder? But no, I backed off at the last second.
Yeah, my wise move, as it turns out.
No guts, no glory, Jeff. There's no guts, no glory. everyone wants to know about Eddie Ruth and the Altons, so what do you know?
Well, the Ed Ruth situation, I mean, we reported on WRC News last week. Sources had confirmed to us that it is a DUI. I suspect that'll be coming out in the police reports. We had multiple sources that have confirmed that to WRC News. And it's a situation where he's obviously putting the coaching staff in a difficult position. I really think Cal's... In a situation like that, no matter what he does, he's going to be criticized. If he boots him from the team, there are going to be people saying that's too harsh and too immediate. If you do nothing, obviously, everybody's going to come down on you. But no matter what lengths of suspension you come up with, there's going to be people on both sides saying it's not right. They deliberated for quite some time. I mean, Cal and the coaching staff sat down, talked it over, talked things over with Ed and his family, and I think they're comfortable with not just with the suspension, but with the plan moving forward for Ed and, you know, hopefully his life as well as his wrestling career. So obviously it's going to be a big deal when he gets back in the lineup. He's as good a wrestler as we've ever had here at Penn State, and he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats in the sport. And, until then, it's kind of holding as best you can. I think James Fraschella is moving up to a weight class, and I think it's still an adjustment for him. I mean, he's big enough, but it's a different game when you're going up a weight class, and he's still a young wrestler, and I think you saw him, maybe got a little caught up in the moment this past weekend. I think Wes Phipps should be good to go this weekend. I think they're officially expecting to get him cleared today, and I would expect that it'll be Phipps, but we'll see on Sunday against Lock Haven. And as far as the Altons, they both had off-season shoulder surgery. They both had torn labrums, opposite shoulders, but they both had torn labrums, and both have recovered well. Dylan may even be a little ahead of Andrew in the recovery process, but Dylan's been pushing. He wants, if they would let him, he'd go out and wrestle against Lock Haven this week. He's raring to go, but my guess is they're going to hold both of them out until the Southern Scuffle, just there on the side of caution. Cal really believes both of them are capable of having really big seasons here for the Nittany Lions this year, and I think that Dylan especially, I just think, is on the verge of being one of those dominating type of wrestlers, David Taylor, Ed Ruth, Nico Megalutis type of wrestler, and it's going to be exciting, I think, once they get this full lineup in place, whenever that does happen, because this is going to be as strong a lineup as we've ever seen at Penn State, And I think it's going to rank up there with some of the all-time great lineups in the history of the sport.
David Taylor has 41 pins. The school record's 53. It's one that people thought may never be broken. He's got a real shot at it. What is it about him that puts him in a spot where he can get somebody to their back and the quickness with which he does it, Jeff?
Well, you know, David just works. He's one of these guys that obviously has tremendous natural talent, but he works at his craft the way an artist does, and he has an amazing ability. I mean, he is a sponge. He picks stuff up very, very quickly. At the Binghamton Open that week, he's really been working on pinning combinations, how to pin guys, because in high school, he was a scorer. I mean, he certainly had his fair share of pins, but he was known as the guy that racked up the technical falls, and that's still a large part of his repertoire. He loves the takedowns, loves the tilts, but he has really worked since he's been at Penn State on his pinning game, and he's obviously gotten pretty good at it. But as an example, Steve, they worked on a specific move to ease things a little bit for him in tilting guys that are, and turning guys that are content with just trying to stay with the wide elbows and, you know, just trying to keep it close. And Casey Cunningham, and he worked for a couple of days the week before the Binghamton Open this year, and Casey was showing him a particular move and how he thought it would work against guys that were trying to just flatten out on their bellies against him. And David used it four times to record four pins at Binghamton. And it's just, I mean, that's the type of kid he is. He works on something, and within days, he seems to have it mastered. And he is very much gunning for that pin record. It is one of many goals that he has, and he's a goal-oriented kid. But I'll be very surprised if at the end of this season he is not the all-time pins holder for Penn State.
Right, and will have deserved it without question, special on and off the mat. What did he work on in the offseason? You know, offseason is the time where you make your game, whether it's football, basketball, or wrestling. What did he do in the offseason to make him even better this year? What was that one little thing that he did?
Yeah, you know, it's a couple of things, Steve. His aspiration is beyond college. He wants to be an Olympian, and he spent a good bit of time working on his freestyle wrestling and the adjustments that he needs to make there to become a world champion and an Olympic medalist. And that's certainly a good bit of the time he spent on. But as far as his college game, obviously the riding ability of Kyle Dake last year, and I don't know that there's anybody in that weight class. I don't know that there's anybody in any weight class that can ride the way Kyle Dake can. But Casey Cunningham is brutal on top, and he spent a lot of time with David on some adjustments technically to make to get out against even the best riders. And that's a good bit of the time that he spent over the summer. And the other kind of technical aspect was just kind of tweaking some things from top. He's obviously been very good from day one from that top position, but he's really working on just additional moves that he can make from that top position. I don't know if you remember, Steve, that Kerry McCoy's senior year, he had a tough time scoring against a lot of guys because they were so defensive-oriented. And it is difficult when somebody is going out there just trying to keep the score close. I don't know that sometimes fans appreciate just what David Taylor is able to do in terms of mounting up points against guys that are truly out there just to try to keep the score within a decision or even a major decision. And that is, to me, one of the more remarkable things of David Taylor, is even against good opponents who are trying to keep it close, he still finds ways to score and rack up the points. And you know, he is a guy that just continues to work every day to find new ways to score, new things to tweak in his game, little adjustments that can be made, even just the grip that he has in a couple of different situations. He'll make slight adjustments on and figure out a better way to go about it. So he is one of those rare wrestlers, and it's just been fun to watch him. Not just compete in the matches and in the tournaments, but in the wrestling room. And, you know, a lot of the time that's obviously where the great ones are doing their best work, and that's certainly the case with David Taylor.
We know there are certain known entities about this team. We just talked about one. Nico Megalou is another known entity on this team. Give me a guy or two that you're keeping an eye on that could potentially score for Penn State that at the moment people might not expect to see score.
Well, I think Zane Rutherford is obviously gaining a lot of attention very quickly here, but you're still talking about a true freshman making the adjustment from high school to college, and I don't know that I've seen a wrestler make that transition as easily, as quickly as Zane Rutherford. I mean, he has been preparing, much like Nico Megalutis did in his high school career. Nico knew that senior year in high school that he was preparing to be the starter at Penn State the following year, and he did a lot of things during that season to try to get himself ready for the collegiate ranks. And Zane Rutherford did much the same thing at Benton High School last year. But Zane is, I think, ahead of any of the stars in that lineup. You know, I remember when David Taylor first came in, for as great as he was and obviously has become, he had a tough time that first month or two making that transition. I mean, he took some beatdowns. Zane Rutherford has not taken any beatdowns in that wrestling room. He's been ready to go from day one. He just has an uncanny strength. I don't know if it's something about Benton High School, but it's reminiscent of the Hughes brothers, who obviously came from Benton as well. But he just has an innate strength that is really something to behold for a 141-pounder. And he also just has a, much like David Taylor, just a tremendous ability to pick things up, to see things on the mat, and to quickly assimilate them into his game. So he's a guy that I think by the end of the year, Steve, and that is a really strong weight class. Obviously, you have Logan Stever moving up into that weight class, and he's the prohibitive favorite to win the national title. But I really think by the end of the year, Rutherford is a guy that could place, you know, in the top four or five, and I'm not sure he couldn't even do better than that by the time the season ends here. You know, a couple of other guys that I think are worth watching. And Jordan Conaway at 133 is still battling Jimmy Gulabon, who's certainly the favorite there to be the starter. But Jordan Conaway was really good last year and probably is the most improved wrestler in that room right now. And Cale Sanderson said in our pre-match show on Sunday before the Lehigh meet, he kind of wishes he could get both of them in the lineup, but there's just nowhere for either of them to go with Megalutis and Rutherford on either side of the weight class. So it's going to be a battle between those two. Whoever wins the starting job is obviously going to be a strong All-American contender, but it's whoever doesn't is going to be a guy that's certainly capable of having that type of season, and unfortunately it's just going to be one of those great backups this season for Penn State. But those are probably the two weight classes right now that I think, at least nationally, probably aren't as well known, that I think can score some big points as we go down the season here.
All the seasons that you broadcast wrestling, Jeff, how do you view November-December wrestling versus how you view January-February wrestling?
Yeah, it's a big deal to get off to a good start. I mean, it's a bigger deal, I think, Steve, to kind of see what works and doesn't work. And you can kind of see, especially with the veteran guys now, all right, let's try this. Let's see if this is going to be part of my repertoire or not. And Cale is a real big believer in, listen, let's go out there, let's practice something, let's go out on a match, try it and see what happens. And you know what, if it's something that we need to take back out of the repertoire or continue to work on, we'll do it. But the November-December portion of the season is where I think a couple of things happen. You really kind of see the development of the conditioning, and you kind of see who's capable of doing big things. And it's not so much about the wins and losses in November and December. That's part of it, and obviously nobody's going out there trying to lose, but it's a bigger deal how you're wrestling, how you're practicing, how you're translating one to the other, how you're cutting your weight. You know, do you need to make some adjustments to your diet? Do you need to make some adjustments to your sleep habits, your studying, and all of that plays into the equation in November and December. By the time you get to January, and certainly by February, you better know what you're doing. You better have the game plan in effect, and then it is about finding ways to win. It's still about the process, obviously, but hopefully by that point, you know, you fine-tune that process and you're ready to go.
Jeff, always a pleasure. Always enjoy your brilliance on the broadcast. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Steve. As always, I appreciate it.
That's Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. Kevin, writing down notes as we went.
I did, but I don't know that he's going to be able to help my wrestling knowledge.
You know, he was talking about Zane Rutherford from Benton, and I think that even as a freshman coming into the incredibly talented lineup that Penn State already presents, by the end of the year, I think we'll be hearing that name prominent with a few other of the great Lion wrestlers. I watched him wrestle, announced some of his tournament wrestling over several years, and he's the real deal. And he was in high school a man wrestling among boys.
So, Kevin, do you watch wrestling tape too?
No.
Why not?
I know enough about wrestling to call it and watch my kid do it, and that's about the extent of it.
Okay, then what's the deal with the football thing?
I'm not going to answer that because you're going to twist it any way you can to benefit what you want it to be.
Kevin, that is what we call in the business a setup.
I know. I knew I was being set up, but I was not going to just blindly follow along.
That's okay. You know how they got Kevin to the holiday party on December 5th? They told him that there was a golf tournament that day. All right.
I play really well in the dark.
Yes.
Yes, you do. It's easy to finish in first when you're the only one out there. All right, news next, bottom of the hour. And then more analysis of what Kevin saw in the Troy tapes. Please tell me Troy was USC. Something.
No.
All right, news is next.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Explorer XLT, perfect for a family of four, just $21,998. 2010 Ford Focus, great one-owner vehicle, $12,599. 2008 Jeep Liberty Limited, just $18,994. A beautiful Lincoln Mark LT, new brakes and tires, only $28,495. And a like-new 2012 Ford Mustang Boss, as fast as it looks, lowest price promise, just $44.99. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So what, Hunger Games is out? Is it tonight or is it next week?
I think it actually came out last night.
Last night.
Yeah, because there were some theaters that were running a double feature. They were running the original Hunger Games movie and then the follow-up in the series.
Wow. It's supposed to be the hit of the year. I mean, they're expecting it to gross more money this weekend than any other movie all year, right?
That's what Movie Mike says, too.
All right. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Beverages, wide array. Did I mention beer? Fresh, hot, roasted peanuts. Snacks galore. It's going to be 27 degrees on Sunday. Stock up now, all right? Pickle bar and much more.
Bob, did you stop at the pickle bar, by the way, before we go to the game tonight?
Kevin and I are probably be sitting in close proximity, so I've got the garlic pickles for you again.
You know what Corey at Brewer said, crunch all you want, he has more.
Oh, my, does he really? Yeah, Corey's a great guy. And I'm ready. Steve, Kevin and I will be at Troy at Danville. And for those of you listening and want to know where Troy is actually, it is between Williamsport and Canada somewhere.
That's a good description.
I've actually been to Troy, so I know.
Did you ever make it out, though?
Troy and Canton are right next to each other.
They are.
I think it's on Route 14.
It is?
Yes. So I've been through there when I've had to go up to upstate New York. So it's actually a very beautiful area. And I stopped in. They had... They had a Blockbuster video there. And so I went in there and I said, do you have any tape of your football team? So.
Oh, but you've got an overdue notice. I think you're supposed to return it back.
Well, the good news is that store closed a couple of years ago, so you don't have to return it now.
Yeah, and of course.
You never know. It's Troy. You never know.
For those, because the news doesn't get there as fast as most places. And of course, Troy is right by Shunk.
Yes. And we're the Sunbury Motor Studio, by the way. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Q, where it's 1115 Hummel's Wharf. Here's a great one for you. Just go on out and surprise her and put a bow on something. Brand-new vehicle is always perfect for that. That's coming up. So it's a big weekend. The high school football tonight, Penn State tomorrow with Nebraska. Oklahoma State plays Baylor tomorrow night. It's part of that backloaded Baylor schedule we've talked about. NFL on Sunday, the Steelers are trying to beat the Browns, which if they can, will be their fifth win. Then they have the Ravens on Thursday night on Thanksgiving night. I think the entire Steelers season is wrapped up in those 5 days. I think that's the whole ball game for them. If they sweep, they put themselves in a position to maybe get there. If they split, it becomes a long shot. Losing both, they're finished.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they can split, Steve. I think they have to sweep.
Right, no, I'm saying if they split, it's a long shot. I mean, if they go, if they lose both, then they're finished. Even by winning both is no guarantee, but at least puts them still in the hunt for that last playoff spot. So that's coming up on Thanksgiving next week. And the Sunday night game is Manning against Brady. It's going to be windy, cold, swirl of snow. Yes.
Exactly.
On the frozen tundra.
It's field turf.
And what's forecast for tomorrow at University Park?
Frozen tundra.
About 34 at kickoff. Winds sustained at 12, 13, gusting to 25. Wind chill in the second half, maybe around 15.
And what is the forecast for the post-game tailgate, which is of more importance to me?
Ash can and some beverages.
Exactly. Would they be warm beverages, though?
I don't know, but Ron Moeller said something about, we're all going to watch Troy tape together.
Exactly.
So,
huddled around the...
Stop.
Well, this is going to be a really good game tonight, and Kevin has actually packed up in his backpack to go to the game tonight. He's taken a microphone. He's going to actually do the play-by-play from the stands.
Just for my own entertainment.
Exactly.
Let me guess, in the pregame, you're on your laptop, you're going to show right now, look what they do here. Look how fast that kid is.
Yeah.
So was it Larry Johnson that...
He's dying a slow death over there.
Was it Larry Johnson that... That had was it a 2,000 yard season at the end of the game or the end of the year? Michigan State.
Yes.
He did the first half.
Yeah, that was the coldest game that I had ever been to.
So not the coldest game I've ever been.
Well, I don't doubt it, but I mean it was windy.
The coldest game I ever did was Penn State Notre Dame in 1987. That's the coldest game I can ever remember Penn State playing. Wind chill was I think it was below zero that day. The temperature in the stadium was like 15, 16, 17 degrees. Blair Thomas ran for 221 yards. Steve Wisniewski plowed the road, which was amazing. They held Tim Brown, who won the Heisman Trophy winner, to two catches that day, and it came down to a two-point conversion at the end that Lou Holtz went for. Tony Rice ran the option, and Pete Kirkendall took him down at the line of scrimmage on the two-point conversion. Penn State won 21-20. That's the coldest game I ever remember at Beaver Stadium.
And there, as exciting as it was at the end, I was there, and it wasn't a filled stadium at the end of the game. I mean, it was a hardy crew that braved the elements, but boy, was it cold.
Well, I was up in the booth because I was the third announcer at that point, so I had to go down with about 3 or 4 minutes to go to then set up to do the post-game show with Joe. And I remember standing in the end zone, so I was, obviously I was very close to the Kirkendall play. And I'm thinking to myself, how did these people do it? That's the first thing I thought was, how did these people do it? They're unbelievable that they stayed through all this.
And it was the stands themselves, the seats, were just coated with ice. There was just no way by sitting down that you could even get warm with ice on aluminum seats. It was awful.
Yeah. And the game Kevin talks about, that was a cold game as well. You know, and I've always had people ask me, when did you come up with the 2K for LK, the 2K for LJ thing? I said, when he crossed the goal line.
I was
going
to say, knowing you, when he crossed the, when he crossed that 2,000-yard mark.
I said, you don't wake up that day and go, gee, with 264 yards, because he ended up with 279, with 264 yards, he can get to 2,000. Who goes in thinking that?
Exactly.
Really, especially in the first half.
I just remember that's the first and last game my wife has gone to in college football, because she said, if it's this cold, I don't want to go.
Yes. Have you ever thought of a September game?
Yes.
I mean, it would be nice if Rebecca showed up for a game when it was like balmy out. I mean, they don't just play in November, Kev.
I remember some early September games. I think the one with Cincinnati where it was so...
Oh, it's blazing hot.
It was so blazing hot. It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was, matter of fact, the score of the game almost matched the temperature. Oh, it was like
81 to nothing.
81 to nothing, and the temperature was like 83 at least.
Hottest game, 1985. Maryland opening game of the season. Maryland ranked number one by Look Magazine. 105 degrees at kickoff, right? 105. They keep bringing beverages and fruit into the booth. I'm the third announcer again. And again, the same thing. Penn State has the game with the second play of the game. Stan Gelbaugh fumbled or threw an interception on the second play of the game. Mike Zordich ran it back for a touchdown. Penn State won the game 20-17. Lance Hamilton had a big fumble recovery right at the end. That's the same thing. 2 to 3 minutes ago, I go down to the field because I'm going to do the post-game show with Joe. It's like a roasting pan. And again, I'm looking around saying, how did these people do it? How did they do it? There's only 48,000 people. There was Bird Stadium, but it was 105 degrees.
I remember that. Right on the bay.
Brutal. Just brutal, 105 degrees. Now, when they do play Maryland at Maryland in 20... It's going to be 15, I think. I think they come here next year. It's going to be at M&T Bank Stadium. Going to play there with the Ravens play, so that's cool. But, those are the worst extremes. I've certainly done games where there's been snow, the 2008 Michigan State game, 2003 game at Northwestern. It snowed to beat the band. It snowed a little bit during last year's Wisconsin game, but not where the field was covered. The worst rain game I ever saw was 1985 Notre Dame-Penn State. Penn State won 36-6, and in that slop, Massimo Manca kicked a 50-yard field goal. Now, I was the color analyst for that game. John Grant did the play-by-play. I was the color analyst on that game.
Massimo
in 1985.
Manca. A flashback. Hey, Steve, I have Baird from Selins Grove on the line for you.
Yo, Doug, what's happening?
Yeah, and that's the thing that makes football the greatest game in the face of the earth, because you play in all elements, give me a cold November game over a miserable hot late August, early September game every day of the year, and I will always be there. I had the honor of being at both the Notre Dame game in 87 that you were talking about, and also the Michigan State game the other year, and hands down, the Notre Dame game was indeed the coldest game ever. But I don't remember it being cold, because I only remember the stuff at the goal line at the end of the game. The wind preserved the 21-20 win. It's fabulous. But interestingly, they set some kind of a record in the Michigan State game the other year. I think they sold more hot chocolate in that game than in any other game in the history of Penn State.
Yeah, I bought half of it for my wife. I can attest to that.
That was 2011, I believe.
We normally the game we went to was like I think 01 or 02.
2002.
Was it 2002? Okay. And I remember the wind chill was just brutal by halftime, and we had already tailgated for a little bit. That was the first time I ever tailgated with soup.
the other weather game that comes to mind was the Michigan Snow Bowl game, where it had snowed significantly. And they, if I remember correctly, I think they brought prison inmates out to help clear Beaver Stadium that week.
They did.
But the intriguing thing was They were able to clear the snow off of the seat, but they had no place to put it, and so they merely piled it onto where your feet went. And so for the initial part of the game, you sat with your knees and your chin because your feet were level with your rear end where you're sitting on the seat.
Stephen Pitts ran for 145 yards in that game, and Joe Nastassi's fake field goal put it away.
And I think it was the first game I ever recall where we had a successful fake field goal for a touchdown. It was fabulous.
Yeah. And it worked. They won the game. Mercury Hayes took a shot in the face from a snowball, which was awful. Remember like yesterday. And I wanted to see them clear the stadium. I thought it was a medical convention at first. Everybody was wearing this stuff that said DOC on it. I was like, wow. I was confused.
Yeah.
it may be the angriest I ever remember seeing Coach Paterno, who went down and berated the student section to stop throwing the snowballs out on
right.
the field.
Well, exactly, because, and Mercury Hayes got hurt. I mean, he got hurt. That was not a small thing. He got hurt when that happened, and that's why Joe got so mad.
Absolutely, Joe. But it's precisely why tomorrow's game is going to be fabulous and why I'm convinced that Penn State is destined to win the game. So, have a good time, guys.
Thanks, Bear. Appreciate it. We will come back with more in a moment. Bob will be talking about the Hunger Games and the beauty of film. Kevin will be talking about the beauty of film. Please tell me, like in your Troy tape, there was some woman named Helen. All right, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Wide array of beverages, beer, great assortment, snacks, pickle bar, fresh hot roasted peanuts.
Did you say beer?
Our thanks as always. I mentioned beer, baby.
Oh, man.
And of course, our thanks as always to Sunbury Motors. As we broadcast live from the Sunbury Motors studio, a.k.a. the Chateau, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So, Kev, Danville does play Troy tonight. So what are some of the keys between the two?
Well, I think Danville's going to have to really take care of the football very well. Troy has had some trouble doing that themselves offensively. They've had a few fumbles this year. Penalties have been a big issue. But if Danville can take the offensive possessions and put them downfield for touchdowns and keep the ball out of the hands of Troy, they'll have a good shot at winning this game tonight. But Troy can score quickly.
And tomorrow, one of the keys tomorrow, play with the lead for Penn State. Nebraska's the kind of team that, with the way they run the ball, giveaway, takeaway is going to be very important because both teams have put the ball on the ground this year. So that's going to be important. And then play with the lead. You want to put Tommy Armstrong in a position where he needs to throw the ball for Nebraska to win, because that is not their MO. So do that. Play with the lead. Penn State obviously is far more capable of coming from behind, but the problem is that when Nebraska gets the lead, that means their ground game is going. They eat up chunks of yardage, eat up time. Play with the lead, and win giveaway, takeaway, no, win the game.
And that could be the same thing too for Bucknell over the key debts of VMI. Play with the lead and play with confidence. This is an offense that has been very, very confident over the last several weeks, and it's really shown in what they've been able to amass yardage-wise per game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So very important. And, the Steelers play the Browns. I think the key that was written down for me was something about prayer.
Guys, I'm kind of jealous because – Kevin does the announcing. He's got, Shikellamy football and then Shikellamy basketball, and then, Steve, you've got Penn State. I was looking for a sport, and I've got the perfect one that I can do. I think if Penn State gets a curling team, I could be their announcer.
Oh, I'd love to do curling. I'd do curling with you. I watched a lot of that this weekend on NBC Sports Network.
I think that's my sport. You know, I'm so jealous of you two guys and the announcing you do and all that. And I'm looking forward. If there's ever curling in the area, I'm the guy.
Actually, I'm very happy to announce that Bob will be joining WKOK Sports on a fairly regular basis with Shikellamy Wrestling this year.
Great.
Filling the very big shoes of Phil Lockoff along with Steve Williams. Mm-hmm. So I think Bob's going to be a great addition to the broadcast team.
Way to go, Bob. Oh. That's really cool.
But, you know, I'd really drop cool. it in a heartbeat for that Penn State curling team.
I understand that.
Because,
yeah, you know, it's a stepping stone to the Olympics. A lot of people don't realize that.
Did you see any of the curling this weekend?
I love the sport.
I'll tell you what. I really watched that a lot. And I'm like, I wish we had. What's the closest curling club, I think, is Hazleton. It's frightening that I know that.
And of course, Steve, as you know, I'm a world-renowned authority on cricket. And last night, England and Australia were playing in a test match. I watched that on the internet for 7 hours. I don't know what the score was. It didn't matter.
So, basketball coming up on Sunday as well. Longwood is the competition in the Jordan Center Sunday at 1, where I'm beginning at 12:30. And Longwood has already beaten TCU this year. They have, as I referred last night at the talk show, they have the Fighting O'Briens tonight. They've got Brown on their schedule this evening. So
Longwood sounds like the name of the Harvard quarterback.
Or I was just
saying, hello, Longwood here, playing quarterback for Harvard.
I thought it was a high school in Mississippi for some reason. I don't know why.
They're at the University in Virginia.
Yeah,
they've been Division I for 8 years now. A lot of people scheduled them early on because they had, like, it was a Division I win, so they did it. Now Longwood's become good. This is actually an assigned game on Sunday. Longwood and Monmouth are assigned games as part of the Barclays tournament. So, guys, have a great weekend.
You as well. Bob, have a great call Saturday.
Bob, enjoy the game, by the way, on tonight.
Enjoy
the game tonight.
I'm going to try.
And Kev, I hope all of your tape dreams come true.
Thank you.
And Steve, I'll see you tomorrow at the pregame show at the Bryce Jordan.
That's if we're out.
Yeah, exactly. You guys.
I don't know. They've already debated because of the wind about, you know, putting us inside.
Well, I can do that too.
What are they afraid your hair going to blow?
Hey, I just go where they assign me. I don't make decisions on this.
Roger Corley says go. Steve doesn't.
You know, if we're inside, we're inside. I mean, well, what are we going to do? Sit there and watch Troy tape?